Awaken Your Alpha, Episode 12, John Latok from Guernsey.
Unfortunately, the majority have forgotten how to go out there and grab life by the balls. Which brings us to this point in evolution. It is time for me to pass you over to your guide, Adam. I must, however, warn you, he is not like me. We both speak English. Him, just not so well. Anyway, apologies. Here he is.
This episode is brought to you by FLF29, Fit Lean Fast Athletic Body Transformation. What could you actually achieve in 29 days? Head over to facebook.com/fitleanfast29 to find out. I'll see you there.
Good. Right, you ready to roll?
Yeah, I'm just going to lock with.
Lock yourself in there. That is awesome.
This is my life. Right.
Oh, man. So, are you ready to awaken the inner alpha, John?
Yeah, mate. I've got all my notes down. I did some little notes. All
good. You sound ready. You sound wound up. You sound ready for it. So,
fired up. Go.
On that note, then, I know a fair bit about you, but can we have a brief introduction from yourself for everyone else listening if they don't know who you are?
Yeah. Right, my name's John Latok. I own a company called Stormforce Fitness over in Guernsey. If you're from the UK, you'll know, hopefully, it's somewhere between England and France. If you're not from the UK, it's somewhere between England and France. A lot of people don't even know it exists. It's a small island. We've got about 68,000 people, but I've built up a fitness company here. We've got about 170 members now on our fitness camps. Obviously, do personal training as well. I do more and more work online now as well, so coaching people online, and we're now looking at opening a 5,000 square foot place in the town centre here. So,
Blimey.
Pretty much my current status.
Brilliant. I mean, for a long time, I did think you lived in the Isle of Man for ages, which is completely up the other way. So, at least I know where the Isle of Man is, definitely.
Yeah, Guernsey's better. Without a doubt.
Oh, definitely. No, I've got some family there. Is there a quote that you like or that you like to live by? Or have you got a quote for us to get us started today?
My favourite quote. I think one, actually, I picked it up recently that really kind of sums up. Well, two phrases, really. The first one was, if you win the rat race, you're still a rat.
I think I saw you pop that one up. I like that a lot.
I can't remember where I read it, in all honesty. It was in a book I was reading recently, and it's just that thing, you know, you can chase and chase and chase stuff based on what other people want, you know, generally something to do with money and material things, but at the end of the day, even if you come out on top, you're kind of still like them. You're still going to be looking at all the other rats, and then some other rat's going to overtake you, and the whole game starts again, and realistically, that's how a lot of people live their life. So they either win the race, but they're not.
Yeah, you don't want to be a rat.
Destruction behind them. Yeah, they sit and try destruction behind them, and they're still involved in the same thing. And if they don't win the race, they spend their life worrying about what the other rats are doing. So that was kind of one of them. The other one is, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. It's kind of like it's a translation of an African quote, an African phrase, where, yeah, you know, you can do stuff alone. Obviously, you can build a business on your own, and you can get places a lot faster, but as I found out for various reasons, I'm sure we're going to cover as we go along.
Yeah.
Found that if you really want to make a massive impact, whether you've got a fitness business or anything else, then you've got to bring in other people. You can't just do everything on your own. So you'll only truly maximize and optimize yourself if you can actually learn to help other people do the same and accept your own weaknesses, really. Bring in people who kind of make up for your weaknesses and enable you to use your own strengths. So,
definitely.
Yeah,
that is huge. That's something I love to try and, yeah, to try and do it all myself. And that is one of my weaknesses. It's just, it's not good, but yeah, I'm getting better.
It's kind of a problem with trying to be alpha.
So again, you mentioned about what you're up to now. Can we have a bit of like your alpha origin story? Like do we know you come from Guernsey? Is that where you grew up? Like, how do you get to your position now? Can we have sort of a little bit of background?
Yeah, I'll give you the express version is I lived here till I was 18. I was going to go into finance and all that sort of stuff because that's pretty much what Guernsey runs on.
Yeah.
Something inside me knew it, looking back, I think something inside me knew it wasn't quite right. So I decided I'd go to uni and do management studies and kind of see what happened. It was something I thought it kind of leaves a lot of options open. And then so I'll just fast forward you through it, decided that wasn't really for me, ended up deciding I wanted to be a personal trainer, left my uni with a management studies degree, did a personal trainer qualification, got a job for like £5.77 an hour in a gym in England. Just got sick of that shit. It really wasn't, you know, I didn't like the whole commercial thing.
I got a £4.50 job, I think, at the time, in a gym. At the time, you could get paid more doing CD packing, like literally on the street.
Yeah. I mean, in all fairness, without blowing my own trumpet too much, I was a good trainer. I did build up a good personal training base, but it was more the attitudes and stuff. And in the end, I just decided with a friend that we'd start our own studio in Nottingham, which was a bit of a risk. We managed to borrow some money, but neither of us had any friends other than the ones we made sort of working in the gym. Our families, he was from Italy, I was from Guernsey, so we didn't have any family there. Just kind of looking back, it was kind of a bit of a naive thing to do, but, you know, it's all worked out. We did that for 3 years, and then it wasn't really working out from a business thing, and then we were still mates, but we just wanted different things out of life. So I ended up coming back to Guernsey 3.5 years ago. And that pretty much brings you to what I spoke about before, the fit camps and the personal training. So,
okay.
That's the express version.
That's good. I like it. Yeah, we're going to be good on time today. So linked into that then, so your awaken question, when did it all start to change for you? You know, what finally was like the click? I think we touched on it a bit about like not doing everything yourself. What sort of changed?
I don't know if there was ever really one click. I think it's been a series of clicks, and sometimes it's more that the click that I probably had a long time ago wasn't strong enough, and I think what I knew a while ago has just become magnified. I talk about intuition and stuff a lot, like, you know, if you're in a swimming pool and you try and push a football underwater, you can keep pushing it down, you can keep pushing it down over and over again, but it's just going to keep sort of bouncing back up. And that was, you know, that's just, it does get magnified, it will keep digging at you. And I think what really helped me was actually Dax Moy.
Brilliant. You've just gone into, let's get on to the Yoda question, as in who helped you in that sense. So I think you've just gone into that, definitely.
Yeah, we might as well drift into that. Yeah, it really was. Dax just got me thinking, not trying to simplify what Dax does because he is phenomenal, but it really came down to the question of why. You know, I'd tell him about stuff I wanted to do and he'd just kind of sit there and go, well, why do you want to do that? Like, how's it going to serve your life? That's what got me thinking. I was like, yeah, going back to what I said about the rat race, a lot of what I was doing was based on what I saw other people doing on the internet, what I believed I believed to be a good personal trainer, or I believed that the best personal trainers were the ones who were working their asses off and having a full client base of 50 clients. And, you know, that signified that what you were doing was the best you could be doing. You were the best at your job and everything. And that's just made me realize that there's no rule to how a trainer should act and how they should run a business and everything else. And that started me thinking about, well, yeah, who am I as a person and how is this fitness business actually going to serve my lifestyle?
Yeah.
So I definitely put Dax right up there in terms of one of the people who's kind of really helped me awaken to a lot of things. Another one I'd say was Dan John, a guy who I started reading his books a while ago, simply because he made me realize that to be great at what you do, you don't have to be more complicated. You know, it was more about keeping things simple and the communication of what I was doing. And again, it was removing myself from the arguments and the shit that you get on the internet and trying to prove myself by having more knowledge and all that sort of stuff. And actually, you know, if I was going to have a huge impact on this world, it was just about taking the simple things and learning how to convey that to other people rather than making it more complicated. High school athletics coach, a very religious guy as well. And his big thing is really just getting back to basics and doing the basics over and over and over again. And really, that's what I've realized has grown my business. It's made me a better trainer and everything else. So Dan John's up there. Martin Rooney as well, another guy.
That guy's on fire. He is awesome.
From him, I've really got it's just the coaching style, you know, how to be a coach and how, if you're going to make a difference, you've got to get people fired up for life. You've got to, whether you're a fitness trainer or anything else, like even if you run an accountancy business,
yeah,
you want to really stand out, you've got to get your team fired up, you've got to get clients fired up. it doesn't matter what you do. And you can only really appreciate Martin Rooney when you've been in the same room as him.
Oh, yeah. Ridiculous. Yeah,
he's just got story after story.
Completely off your fault pattern now. Yin-yang round. So I'm going to give you 50-50 options and you just got to go with your gut on this. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Water ski or snow ski?
Snow.
Vodka or wine?
Vodka, definitely. Very good.
Yeah, love it. Home cooked or dinner out?
Home cooked, I think. Okay. Yeah, home cooked.
San Fran or New York?
Well, I've not been to New York or San Fran. I'm gonna go San Fran, I think, yeah.
Okay.
More West Coast.
Okay. London or Guernsey?
Guernsey, without a doubt. Okay. I'll stand London for more than 2 days.
I'm gonna get you on this one now. Okay. Namibia or Thailand?
Namibia.
Yeah, I thought it'd be that one. All right. P90X or Insanity?
I've never done either, to be honest. I'm gonna go with Insanity just because some of my friends have done it.
Okay, fair play. I'll let you off from that. Okay, so, and fill in the blank for me here then. If I ever come to visit Guernsey, I should...
come to Stormforce and I'll show you how to be a proper trainer.
Yeah!
I'm kidding.
Love it, love it. All right then. We're going to get on to some of your alpha tools or resources.
Yep.
So we're going to see if you've got any good books that you're currently reading or read recently. It's up to you if you want them... if their focus was more business, body, belief, balance, or a combination of all four. Yeah. Have you got any books that you're into at the moment?
The one I'm reading at the moment is going back to kind of Martin Rooney's coaching style. It's called Super Coach. It pulls together a lot of... I've read absolutely tons of books to the point where I can barely remember the names of them, but I kind of remember the key principles. But it does really bring together... how to have a massive impact on your own life and other people, you know, whatever kind of coach you're going to be, whether it's fitness or school teacher or anything like that. So, Super Coach is one I'm reading at the moment. Body-wise, you know, what I like is, I like Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Body.
I like that one a lot.
I don't really like the title because one thing I cannot stand is people thinking they can change their body and, you know, it's like, train for 4 weeks and you're going to be your best ever kind of thing. Yeah, but
It sells books, definitely.
Yeah, but what I do like about it is that Ferris's thing is all about kind of time hacking. It's like, look, I've only got one life. I've got a lot of stuff to do. Whatever I'm going to do, I want to do it as quick as I can. And it's interesting to see that he's gone around to a lot of pretty much the top guys on the planet for whether you want to run a 5K, 100 miles, be a bodybuilder, whatever, and kind of time hacked it and figured out how to do things faster. So that's a really good one.
Yeah, like what you said, I really liked in there what you said is minimum effective dose as well.
Minimum effective dose, yeah.
Yeah, MED. I like that as well. I like that concept.
Definitely,
when you need it, yeah.
So I say that one for body. Business, again, so many. I think that what I like about business is that so many people have built so many great things in so many different ways, and you've just got to sometimes try stuff and see what sits with you. But... what I liked was, this is really bad, I can't actually remember who wrote it, but it's called Start Something That Means Something. And it's about the guy that started the Tom's Shoes.
Oh, Tom, yeah. I was going to say Tom, no, but yeah, Tom's Shoes, yeah.
And it's all about, you know, he set out for a cause. You know, it wasn't really about the money, but as a result, he's actually built a ridiculously successful business that, you know, makes a lot of money, but... it has a huge impact. You know, it has an impact all over the world, and every single... I think the way they worked it when I was reading the book anyway was that you buy a pair of shoes and a pair of shoes is actually given to somebody in Africa.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing I like. I think if business can't... if anymore, it can't just be about a production line. It's right, who can make the most efficient factory and treat the workers like crap so long as they're forced to do the job. I'd definitely have a think about that one if you're thinking about a business.
Yeah.
You'll get more out of it on a personal level. Yes, obviously, you've got to make money, you've got to pay your bills and all of that. But beyond that, you know, if it's something that is going to get you out of bed, then you need to have that bigger purpose. So, yeah, start something that means something.
Nice. And I'll be putting them the links to them up on the website when the podcast goes live. So we'll find out who wrote that one.
Another big one for me is the Alchemist. And I think going back to my story about, you know, starting in Guernsey, I kind of always thought, because being from a small island, you kind of go... there must be this magic treasure out there somewhere. And that's why I kind of went to England, and I've studied in America. And don't get me wrong, I've learned a hell of a lot of stuff wherever I've been. But it's almost like the theme of the story is that actually the treasure you're searching for, you already have. But sometimes you need to go on a bit of a journey to realize that. Whether you label it as, you know, some people call it the, you know, is the grass really greener on the other side? And don't get me wrong, sometimes people move to a new place and that's where they build their life. But for me, the story of the alchemist, that he had to go on the journey to discover that actually his treasure was kind of where it was all along. That's kind of what I've done, really. I had to leave. I had to get out and go on my own journey, do a bit of traveling. And I still do travel, but, you know, I've kind of come full circle, come back to Guernsey and aim to have a huge impact on your own corner of the world. And then that's how it's going to spread. Some people try to, it's like, I've got to have a massive impact straight away on the entire planet.
Exactly. And it's handy then if you live on a small island. Result.
Yeah. Maybe what we should be doing is finding the simplest ways of doing things, not spending 4 hours in the gym. Actually, we can get effective workouts done in 45 minutes.
Oh, definitely.
Eating, nutrition, yeah, obviously there's things people are doing wrong, but it's
principles, yeah. Principles to follow instead of weighing out everything and wasting your life, yeah.
Is where I generally recommend 3 meals a day. I found actually, again, I've come full circle on that. It's kind of what my mum told me. But some days I like to do intermittent fasting. Some days, just because I'm busy, I'll go right and do more of a warrior diet and not pretty much not eat all day and have a bigger meal in the evening. But like you said, the principles remain the same. I'm still eating clean food. I'll change my carbohydrate intake here and there. And at the end of the day, you know, I did my body fat again the other day. I'm 8.6% body fat.
Back of the net. Nice.
I don't mean that. That probably sound a bit arrogant, but my point is that there's more than one way to skin a cat. You don't have to always subscribe to just one way of doing things. It's like, find what fits into life. And that doesn't mean be lazy and kind of...
Yeah, find what fits into your lazy life. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you still need to learn this stuff and understand why it's working for you and everything else and put a bit of effort into food prep and whatever else. But yeah, just don't get obsessed. I appreciate that there is a life out there. And if you spend all your life trying to make money and trying to busy yourself and everything else to try and reach this point eventually where you're free, you kind of miss out on all the good stuff along the way. So,
brilliant. Okay, what would you say a good resource that's helped you be more productive that you use?
I'm one of these weird ones. I've got pretty much every Apple product you can think of, and yet
I love it.
Still have a paper diary. I'm looking at it now. It's just got scrawl all over it. I like to just have a paper diary. I will sit down with my piece of A4, with all the, like, I've had slots like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and I will write stuff out. Then, like tonight, I'll do it and go, right, it's Wednesday tomorrow, I've got fitness camps here, and I will just plan out my day like that. I just find it easier on paper. Yeah. I don't know why. I can scribble things out easily and move it around.
Like you said, I think I've come full circle on this because obviously my background is as a teacher, and they give you an awesome teacher's planner every year, and I used to just use it for other stuff.
Yeah.
And I tried, like you say, I get all the gadgets, get all the iPads and different things in there. But I'm come back round and I'm getting teacher's planners. I just love teacher's planners.
Yeah. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I like phones and everything else. Yeah. But to a certain extent, I think they make things more complicated. I know you can get apps and stuff to stop you doing this. But I kind of find if I went on my phone to look at my diary, then I'm like, oh, I'll just have a look on Facebook. Yep. And then I'm end up worse off.
Definitely.
I like to just be able to visualise my day. I'm like, there it is on paper. So, I mean, what I'll do is I'll have sort of A, B and C things to do. I'm like, right, this A things are things that have to be done tomorrow. They're pretty urgent. They're very important. They'll make a big difference to business or my training or whatever. I'll get those done first. Then I have like my B things, which are pretty important. But if they don't get done tomorrow, it's not the end of the world. And then the C things are like, if I happen to do everything else quicker than I thought, I'll get this stuff done. Otherwise, it can kind of
stop the back burner. Okay. So,
yeah, really, that's me.
You've covered that. I was going to say, have you got a good low-tech resource? So you've got that. What's your high-tech resource that you do actually use then?
I've got very, very much into heart rate variability training.
Oh, I've seen a bit of that from you, yeah.
So, obviously I do it from a training point of view to get the most out of my training. But if we're thinking in terms of productivity and stuff, one of the most annoying things is when you're busy, but you go, no, I'm getting my workout done. You get in the gym. And then because your nervous system's fried, because you're stressed or tired or whatever, you end up having a really crap session. And you're like, well, that was actually an hour wasted. The thing with the HRV monitor is that, without getting too much into the science, it effectively looks at the state of your nervous system and it will tell you whether you're in a state to really go for it in your training, whether you maybe need to reduce the volume a bit but still train, or you're in the red zone, which is basically no training today for you.
Rest day.
So what it means is I can manage my training so that it is very effective, and I know I'm not effective. I'm not wasting time trying to lift weights when I'm screwed and my strength is down. So it, in terms of productivity, it helps directly and indirectly. For instance, if I was in the red zone today, instead of smashing a boxing bag and trying to do one rep max testing, I'll just do some yoga, go for a walk, do some deep breathing.
That's brilliant, yeah.
And then it means that the rest of my day will be more productive. Training the next day will probably be more productive. So, yeah, I think that's been a huge thing for me.
So you said that's high tech resource. Is there an app that people can get for that then?
I use BioForce. It's a guy, Joel Jameson, who's built that one. That I've found has been absolutely brilliant. Basically, all you do is 2.5 minutes in the morning, put kind of a standard heart rate monitor on. It plugs through to the app, and then off you go. It'll give you, you just lie there for 2.5 minutes. It'll come up with the reading, and then you just change your training accordingly that day. So there are other ones. I think iFleet is one.
Okay.
I'd recommend BioForce.
We're delving in a little bit here to some of your personal alpha habits. What do you think is a key habit that you have that helps you carry on, apart from plugging into your heart rate monitor every day?
I think for me, I'm just constant. You know, some people say you've got to have a work-life balance, as if you've got to kind of 5 o'clock comes, you've got to switch off from work. I just can't do it. Because my work is more than business, is more than making money.
It helps, when you blur the lines between work and play is very helpful.
Yeah, so I think kind of one of my habits is really that I've had to bring meditation into my life so that I can get more out of my thinking, if that makes sense. Yeah. You know, I've got so much in my head. I have got so many ideas that, for me, one of the important things has been learning to get in tune with the right stuff. You know, every day I'll have 20 or 30 ideas, and it's just physically not possible to use them all. So meditation daily, I'm not kind of standing on one leg licking a tree or anything like that. It's just a case of I get some nice music on. I like a bit of incense and all that stuff. I'm a bit soft like that. But it just helps me chill out. It switches off my conscious brain, lets the subconscious work. And I find the next day I kind of have this better inner guidance, if that makes sense, to which projects to choose, which ones to just put on a back burner, which ones to throw out completely. So, yeah, I think meditation has probably been a habit that I've basically had to force myself to get into. You know, things like training as a habit, it's just what I do. In terms of stuff that I've kind of had to make myself do because it's so effective, yeah, definitely get meditation.
Brilliant. So what do you think, before you got sort of to the levels of how things are going for you now, what do you think was holding you back? Is it hard to pin?
I definitely think the whole rat race thing, trying to, to be honest, the funny thing is I met Dax, or I ended up in Dax's circle, if that's the right word, because I was searching for best London personal trainers or something. So I was almost like, London's the capital, therefore the people would be best in London. If I copy the people in London, I'll be a good trainer. And obviously, as it happens, I did learn a lot of Dax, but I've had to learn to appreciate my own story. You know, some of the stuff we've spoken about, some of the stuff I haven't spoken about, like fracturing my spine at 17. And actually, I should have mentioned that earlier. That was one of
the things. Yeah, I want to hear some of that. Okay, let's just go back to that then, a bit about your origin, because that's huge, man, especially at 17. That's like a big year.
To be honest, I really should have brought this up. I think in terms of building me as a man, that's kind of been a huge thing, because basically I was playing loads of sport. I was always like football, cricket, hockey, tennis, pretty much anything going. And got to a point where basically my spine, combined with growing pains and everything, had enough. So I fractured my spine. It properly went one day. Did nothing for 3 months. I had to swim for then 3 months after that. So 6 months doing none of the stuff that pretty much made my life worth living, as far as I was concerned. But that was about the time when people were starting to talk about this core strengthening thing. So I got into that. It got me into thinking about lifting weights. And that was really what got me into thinking, actually, there's a big market for this. You know, personal training was starting to become a big market. But I thought, this has happened to me. You know, injuries are happening to people all over the place every day. And it's been a long journey for me to rebuild myself, and only because I've researched it so much. So, I should have mentioned that earlier. That was...
it's pretty huge, but it's good we got onto that, though. Blimey.
Mm. My favourite day.
it's interesting when you talk to people at this sort of thing, or people that you feel like you've got some kind of connection to, and then you find out they've had some kind of like big either sporting injury or incident when they was younger. That sort of changed their mentality.
I was writing an article at the moment. I was halfway doing it when we got on this call about how people, like in our sort of personal training world, it's easy to look at the guys that we see as the top guys in the industry, and it's like life's just amazing for them. They make a ton of money and they do it easily. And it's like when you actually get to know these people, you realize that most of them have had something pretty bad, or lots of bad things that have happened to them, but they just had the balls to stay with it. You know, they've had enough belief that they'll get through it, and they can actually, rather than being kind of ashamed of their story, it's actually part of what's built them. And that is what I've built a lot of my personal training on. It's like when people come saying, oh, I'm interested in fitness and weightlifting, but I've got a bad back. I'm like, dude, trust me, your back is not as bad as mine was.
Yeah, yeah. Have you fractured it?
Yeah, that sort of stuff. That sort of stuff really helps. I think I've kind of gone off. I've forgotten what your initial question was.
It was kind of what was holding you. What do you think was holding you back? But talked about, you did kind of cover that. So I think you talked.
Basically, it was I didn't appreciate my own story, and I know I've spoken to so many trainers who are like this, that they feel they don't have anything that makes them stand out, and actually they do, but they've just, they see their own story as pathetic or embarrassing.
Yeah, they buried it. Yeah. Definitely. What's the best advice you think you've received?
Do you know what? I can't think of one person who's kind of
you've kind of covered that quite a lot with Dax and obviously Dan John.
Really just listen to your heart and your gut. And I'm starting to do that more now. Like when I have a big business, because you know, as your business grows, the decisions become bigger. And it's just listening to myself, like taking some time out. Like if I can't make my mind up, I'll go and stop using my mind. Like I'll go and meditate. I'll go and sit on the beach and just almost think more gently about stuff. And it sounds a little bit wishy-washy, and I'd have kind of laughed at this a few years ago, but listen to your heart. How does it feel in your gut? Like it's like, right, if I go down this way, what's going to happen? And almost feel how that feels, if that makes sense. And
yeah.
That's been the best thing for me, because you know, our minds run on what goes in through the senses. So whether it's what we see, what we hear, what we read, what we watch, and a lot of the time that stuff is hugely misleading, because obviously it's based on other people's lives. And I think we can only really know what's the right decision for us if we listen to our heart and our gut. Because as I found with this heart rate variability, the heart's normally a few steps ahead of the rest of our body. It kind of knows what's coming. It knows when there's a cold coming or illness or stress. And
brilliant.
Better.
So what would you say would be one of your biggest mistakes? You can put it in personal life, or you can just stay in business.
I think expectations and rigid deadlines, like, right, I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. And then if it doesn't happen, you're like, oh God, I'm a failure.
Yeah.
Just because you decided that the universe should deliver £1 million by the time you're 30. It's like, there's nothing to say you won't be a millionaire. It might take another year. It might take another 10 years. I think it's more important to have this big vision and be knowing that you are genuinely taking the steps and making the effort to get there. And, you know, if it's
meant to be. Enjoy the journey, definitely.
Yeah, enjoy the journey for sure. So try not to become too big too quick and pressure yourself that if it hasn't happened, you failed. Because I think sometimes life does have a better plan for you. So, you know, do the things you enjoy, put every ounce of effort you can into it, and then there's not an awful lot else you can do. Just kind of let life roll.
Okay, right. So finally, we got to our wake-up question.
Yep.
If you woke up tomorrow and you had to start again with a clean slate, you didn't have anything, but you still knew everything that we've just been talking about, what would you do sort of first in the first week or so?
You know what? I'm a pain in the ass when people ask this question, because to be honest, I'd do everything all over again. I'd fracture my spine. I'd do all that stuff, because honestly, I don't know where my life would be if I didn't.
Okay, I completely appreciate that. All right then. So, but you've still fractured everything. You're up to this point. Mm. So, but you're just, everything's taken away from you. You're back to square one from tomorrow. What would be like one of the first? How would that first day go, or the first week?
I would decide exactly. I'd probably do what I'm doing now. You know, I do love my business. I'd start a fitness business again. But what I would do is really base it on my story. I'd really base it on kind of what I had, all the things that had happened to me.
Yeah.
I'd do so all that
it,
again.
It'd be really unique then, wouldn't it?
Well. And I spend a lot more time thinking about people. I was very much one of these guys that thought more about the technology and the training kit and everything else. I think what I would do is straight away spend more time studying psychology, because I think sometimes we happen to get results for people just because our way of thinking and stuff matches theirs. But I think sometimes if we were better on the psychology side of things, I think as an industry we could make a much bigger impact. So yeah, that's probably what I would maybe do differently. I'd get awesome on psychology.
Who do you think I should interview next or very soon?
Well, by the sound of it, you already interviewed Luca. I was gonna say Luca's a very good friend of mine for a lot of the reasons I've discussed already. He thinks the same as me around business and life. Yeah. Martin Rooney for sure. I think if you interview Martin Rooney, you'd probably have smoke coming off your laptop. So.
But this is spot on. You just said you're very similar to Luca. That's who Luca recommended as well.
Yeah, I'd also go John Spencer Ellis if you're.
Yep, I've got him later today. So yeah,
if they're business focused, I'd speak to him, because that guy's like, if you just met him in a bar and chatting to him, you'd walk out thinking, oh yeah, I met this nice guy, kind of does a bit of business and stuff, and then you find out he's got like 2,000.
Yeah, he's the Godfather.
Yeah.
Quality. All right, and so just in wrapping up then. What do you think is the one question I should have asked you or you'd like me to ask you that I didn't?
Oh, that is a good one. What's the point of all this?
Okay, John, what's the point of all this?
Do you know what? I don't know.
Quality.
It's kind of that meaning of life thing, and I don't know. I don't think we'll ever know till the end, and I think that's what I've come around to. If it feels right now, if it feels right in your heart, go with it. And that applies to pretty much everything. So,
mate,
I think the meaning of life is listen to yourself.
Yep, spot on. So, on that note, if people want to listen to you a bit more, how can they connect or get in contact with you?
I'm all over Facebook. If you search John Letocq, spelled J-O-N-L-E space T-O-C-Q. Bit of a funny name.
I was going to say, it's handy to have a unique name like that. Yeah,
it is, yeah. JohnLetocq.com, or just search Stormforce Fitness and you'll find loads of different stuff.
Brilliant. Well,
to connect, so yeah, get in touch.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for taking the time today, and I will see you in just over a week as well.
Yes, we'll do.
Brilliant. So I'll let you get going, so you're good to go.
Thank you.
All right, mate. I'll see you later.
Cheers, bud. Thank you.
Cheers, bye.
You're real.
This episode is brought to you by FLF29, Fit Lean Fast Athletic Body Transformation. What could you actually achieve in 29 days? Head over to facebook.com/fitleanfast29 and find out.
Thank you for enduring my enthusiastic friend on today's show. Awaken Your Alpha has only just been released into the wild, and to help it evolve into a fine beast, I urge you to head over to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, and leave us a 5-star review today. Thank you, and see you on the next episode.